KLIK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. U.S. strikes back. I'm Mark Remillard. The U.S. conducting retaliatory airstrikes in Syria and Iraq, hitting targets with dozens of bombs in response for last weekend's drone strike in Jordan that killed three U.S. service members. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says more strikes will be coming.
There will be additional response actions taken in coming days, and I think that's about as specific as I want to be about it.
President Biden taking part in the dignified transfer of those three U.S. service members as they returned to the U.S. at Dover Air Force Base on Friday.
And what is one of his most somber responsibilities as president, which is to witness the return of those fallen soldiers, and really underscores and reminds people of the weight of his responsibility.
ABC's Selena Wang, the president there with the First Lady and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, C.Q. Brown. This is ABC News. An unusual find in a man's garage just outside of Seattle. ABC's Jeff Pogula explains.
A museum in Ohio notified police that someone wanted to donate a piece of military hardware. Officer Seth Tyler.
Turns out it was actually, a decommissioned rocket. It's actually designated as an Air-2 Genie rocket that was originally designed to carry a nuclear warhead back in the Cold War.
The bomb squad determined there was no warhead and the device found to be inert. It's unclear how the missile ended up in the man's garage, but the military doesn't want it back. Now, the plan is to restore it and put it on display. Jeff Pogula, ABC News, Seattle.
The family behind a plan to build the world's tallest flagpole at the centerpiece of a billion-dollar development honoring veterans is in a rural part of Maine is abandoning the idea, according to their attorney, who said the family will look to other ways to commemorate those who served. A towering pole would have been taller than the Empire State Building and topped with an American flag bigger than a football field. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915, and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study finds a troubling link between racism online and higher rates of stress and suicide among Black youth. Terry D. reports.
Online racism includes jokes and misinformation, but also censorship or the removal of content posted by Black users. Psychologist Dr. Raquel Martin explains social media is often a representation of what is happening in everyday life.
Having social media provides you with an opportunity to see how people that look like you are being treated in their own city and state and country, and acknowledging the fact that that is not often good.
The study reveals Black teens with repeated exposure to racist posts internalize the content as threats, resulting in trauma-like symptoms and emotional distress. The Social Media Victims Law Center asserts that online anonymity and beliefs in digital freedom of speech are seen as justifications by those who post white supremacy ideology. Another study finds young people experience an average of 5 posts that include racial discrimination per day. Teens may see the content as teasing, not racial harassment, allowing cyberbullying to thrive. Martin says the apps commonly used by teens could do more to rein in the negative content.
I am not naive enough to think that individuals in the social media realm aren't aware of this. They're very much aware of it, but I also don't think they very much care. And a lot of the times the things they care about are losing money.
Recommendations to counter harmful online content include community faith-based and mentoring programs, and to address the stigma in the Black community of seeking therapy and connect teens to mental health resources geared toward youth. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight and a low in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow and highs in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny, warm, and upper 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week, several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. It's 28 degrees right now.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, taking your calls at 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Coming up at 11:33, stick around for this. Goblin butts in the news.
All right. I owe you $5.
Yes, you do. Greg bet me that I wouldn't say that. And we are going to be talking about goblin butts because they are in the news. So, but that's not coming up until 11:33. So stick around for that.
Sheena,
oh, he gets cash money, right? Look at this. Watching on the stream. Right here, baby. Thank you, Greg Bach.
You're welcome.
All right. A man of his word. A man of his word. Normally, she joins us on Thursdays at this time. And I asked her to join us again today for a special segment because I think it's really important. And it was an editorial that just really caught my eye. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, Dr. Lierley. Thanks so much for squeezing us in today.
Good morning. I am like grabbing for my money too in the street. Greg?
You have to say goblin
would you
butts.
Like a, would you like a receipt? I give you a receipt to Cermak. There you go. Yeah.
Goblin butts, goblin butts, goblin
oh
butts.
Oh my God. All right, all right.
That is coming up at 11:33. But we wanted to talk about, there is an opinion piece in the New York Times called The Audacity of E. Jean Carroll, and it's written by Jessica Bennett. And it's a long piece, and we will include it in the show notes. But she starts off by saying, because she was in the courtroom the whole time when it was came to what the damages were going to be that Donald Trump was going to have to pay E. Jean Carroll. She says, I couldn't stop thinking that this trial is also about something else. The value of a woman long past middle age who dared to claim she still had value. Just how radical was it for Ms. Carroll, 80 years old, to demand that she's still worth something? And that isn't something that had even crossed my mind, but I think it's such a valid question and such a valid piece about women's worth, especially as they age.
There's so much in this piece.
Right?
And yeah. And, you know, keep in mind that she was 52 when Donald Trump cornered her in a dressing room, pulled down her tights, and stuck his fingers in her vagina. So a lot of people know that she was sexually assaulted, but this is exactly what happened. This was a power play. This was something that commonly happens. Actually, more women are sexually assaulted in some way in this country than aren't. So this happens all the time. And she sat with this and processed and didn't know how to talk to her friends about it, didn't know how to feel about it. And now, all of these years later, what kind of courage does a woman like this have in her later 70s to be able to come out and share this story and know that she was going to become a target?
Yes.
I mean, it references her sleeping with a gun
yes.
next to her bed because she found the courage to share this story that she couldn't have found when she was in her 50s.
No. And she's even said that. She said, I was not emotionally equipped at that time to come forward. I wasn't prepared to open myself up to death threats and all kinds of other horrible things. So it takes time. And we've seen that with other survivors of sexual assault, that it you don't go in the next day and say, here, you know, in most instances, I think things have changed a little bit. But at that time, what E. Jean Carroll did was probably far more common than women ever reporting being assaulted.
And I think it still tends to happen that way. I think younger people are more forthright about it because there's more information in the world. So if something happens to them, they are more likely to report it. But I think many, many rapes and sexual assaults go entirely unreported as we, the victims, are trying to figure out exactly what happened and how could that happen to me. And it happens to men and women.
It does.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen
but in
it.
This,
go on, doctor.
I was going to say, but in this particular case, you know, to your point earlier, Jane, and the whole point of the piece is now she's 80 and we're talking about sexual assault in an 80-year-old woman reflecting back to her 50s. Mm-hmm. And this is not what we typically think about. We think about young people, you know, people who are most likely to be raped and assaulted are under 25, and actually many of them are still minors. So to think of this in the context of an older woman, even a perimenopausal or postmenopausal or an elderly woman, the way, you know, how she is now in her 80s, it really changes the conversation.
We're talking about an opinion piece in the New York Times written by Jessica Bennett about the judgment, and it was just last Friday that the jury awarded E. Jean Carroll $83 million after he defamed her and was found liable for sexually assaulting her. Alina Haba, who was Trump's lead lawyer in this, tried to paint Ms. Carroll as a faded writer whose rape claim was a last-ditch effort to reestablish her career. When she was cross-examining her, she actually asked E. Jean Carroll, hasn't your reputation improved? Aren't you making more money now than you did before? Isn't that pretty good for a lady who otherwise would probably be at home knitting with your cats? So,
gross.
Yeah, this was a great career booster for E. Jean Carroll. That's infuriating.
Think about, too, when she first entered into this whole journey that she's taken, she could have kept this a secret. And there was never a guarantee that Trump would be convicted of this,
right,
and that there would be any sort of a payout. So
right,
this was a huge chance that she was taking. And knowing the power differential, I mean, she was taking on the former president of the United States and accusing him of this. It's looking back now, it's like, well, she made all this money, but there was never, that's not why she did it.
And that's, as you said, there's no guarantee she was ever going to get anything. And she's still opening herself up to death threats and sexual threats and all kinds of horrible things.
And I have not being her or in the situation, you know, growing up, hearing the classic lines of, well, what were you wearing? Don't you think you were asking for it? Don't you think you were flirting a little bit? You know, all those classic statements, what they're saying to her they had to almost change it for her age and to say like, well, here's the thing is, did this really happen? I mean, you're fine, aren't you? You're older. Why are you doing this? You know, that way of like almost convincing someone to not do it by using the classic lines. But now because she's much older, that's what they had to do is, evolve them, if you will.
Sure. You have to change the argument.
Yeah.
The author of this piece in the New York Times talked to Deborah Turkenheimer, who's a professor at Northwestern University. She's got a book out talking about why we don't believe allegations of sexual abuse. And she said that Trump's team was trying to show that E. Jean Carroll was already past her prime. She had withered on the vine. And so whatever was left of her was not enough to warrant hefty damages. Because again, apparently when women get old, we have no value and we're not deserving of anything.
Ha! But yes, society in many ways does treat us like that. And E. Jean Carroll in the piece, recognizes that she's from the silent generation.
Yeah.
She's from that generation where women belong in a certain place and it's not appropriate to speak out. But, you know, I've found, and I talk with lots of people about abortion these days, since the fall of Roe, people will approach me in public places, people who I don't know, and they're in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they're telling me their personal abortion stories.
Wow.
Or why they are advocating, or why they are grateful for me being a voice. And I'm so proud of them, because many of them have not shared these stories before because it was taboo in their generation to do that. So this is really, I think that's another reason why this story is so unique and so important, because rarely do we find someone from E. Jean Carroll's generation willing to come out with this sort of a story and take it as far as she rightfully did.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. A special segment, we're talking about an opinion piece in the New York Times about E. Jean Carroll, the $83 million judgment that the former president was ordered to pay out to her for defaming her. And it's essentially about what's a woman's worth, especially as we get older. Do we have any value at all? 844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay, thank you for waiting. Stephen, thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hello, Kristen, and hello, Jane and Greg. So
hey,
a couple
Stephen.
Things about this. The first thing that I find a little interesting about this whole E. Jean Carroll thing is that not only was she sexually assaulted, but then she was defamed and basically called a liar when she came out and said she was sexually assaulted. That in and of itself is enough to make any sane person feel like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening. But then you add that Trump got a lawyer who was also a female who tried defending Trump's actions and was a defense lawyer. Now, I know these lawyers make a lot of money taking on these clients, which I would, you know, take a retainer if I was taking on Trump, because he has trouble paying his bills in the first place. But the fact, you know, when does money come into question when you're a woman yourself defending a guy who sexually assaulted and, let's just be honest, raped? I know the right hates that word, but she was raped by Donald Trump. When does your morality come in and say, hey, like, I could make a lot of money off this, but at the same time, I'm also a woman, and she should have really, in my opinion, she shouldn't have took the case. That's just my opinion. The whole situation is sad. It does happen a lot to both, you know, men and women. But the fact that she's a woman herself, like, come on, man.
I feel you, Stephen. Thank you so much for calling. And as always, thank you for listening. But I think we justify our behaviors every single day, if not multiple times a day. And there are people who just don't maybe have those hardcore convictions. And it's like, I'm going to make a ton of cash.
It's that exceptionalism, like, all of those other women, but I'm special, or all of those other people, but I'm different than that.
Right.
And puts you in a different category and makes you feel like you don't have to play by the rules.
Or people say, like, people will understand why I did this. Mm-hmm. They'll understand why. It's fine. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm fine.
If you want to weigh in on this, join us, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. What is a woman's worth? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, taking your calls at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or if you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment there as well on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Special edition of Dr. Kristen Lyerly, we are talking about what's a woman's worth? What is a woman's worth in the aftermath of E. Jean Carroll last Friday being awarded that $83 million judgment that the former president defamed her after sexually assaulting her, which had also been determined by the court. It's a really fascinating piece, and ladies especially, and guys too.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to understand the women in your life a little bit better, I think it would be a wonderful thing to read this article about E. Jean Carroll and what it took for a woman of her time and age to come forward with something like this, and then have it end this way. Real quickly, the author of this piece rode with E. Jean Carroll and her lawyers after they were awarded this, and her sister started going through reactions to the verdict on social media. An inspiration to women, accountability finally, and then, not surprisingly, deranged old hag. She sleeps with a gun by her bed now because of this, because of all the death threats that she's gotten. And again, it goes back to the boldness it required for a woman of her age to still demand that she has value, right?
I have to say, though, the comment deranged old hag is not surprising coming from the Trump camp. That's the kind of messaging we always hear from them. But, you know, to contrast Trump's lawyer with this incredibly brave person, Trump's lawyer is a young person who fits all of society's definitions of what a vibrant woman should be.
Yes.
And once women reach that perimenopausal, postmenopausal time in their lives, and they don't have their reproductive potential anymore, it's funny how their value declines with their reproductive potential.
Yeah. So I'm only as valuable depending upon how many eggs I have left. Now we're going back to eggs, Dr. Lyerly. Now we're back to a conversation about eggs we had a couple of weeks ago, for Pete's sake.
That's right. It's all about your eggs.
We had a couple of texts come through. Mark from the SAC. Did Scott Walker make some comment that you get over the trauma of such assaults after just a few weeks? He did. In 2015, when they were proposing the abortion ban at 20 weeks, he said that rape and incest is something that the mother just worries about for a few weeks, and then it goes away.
Of course.
Like
it
COVID
does.
In April. It just starts, just the warmth takes it away.
The trauma.
Well, for him, it does.
The trauma just dissipates.
And then he also, Mark from the SAC also said, I know women who have told me their stories and sexual assault leave scars that in some cases are still open wounds that have lifelong effects. Some such assaults can cause actual rewiring of the victim's brain, leading to addiction and mental health issues.
100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's important to listen to these stories. It's important to, I mean, and you're right. And I would, as a side note, I would actually recommend Constant Wu's book, Making a Scene. It's an autobiography memoir. And in that book, she talks about being raped in a way that is not violent. Like, it's not like a violent act, as it is just like she didn't want to do it, but he did it. And not and kind of compartmentalizing it in the back of her head for years until in therapy one day, her therapist said that, no,
you were raped.
You were raped. And she had to come to grips with forgetting it, remembering it, and then being told that it happened and accepting it. So, like, there's so many different situations that as someone who's never been assaulted, to learn and to be able to understand people's struggles, regardless of the age, but also, I just think it's a good book. Constant Wu's Making a Scene.
Hey, I really like that you made that point, Greg, because I think that when a lot of people think about rape, they think about this violent situation, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can be very coercive, and that makes it even more complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, you know, this Donald Trump, E. Jean Carroll situation was, he cornered her and stuck his fingers in her vagina. Like, that is violent.
Yes.
But there are plenty of situations where it's much more confusing and it takes a lot more processing to figure out how did that happen? How did that happen to me? And then often women think, and I'm sure men think this too, what did I do? How did I invite this?
How is this my fault?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. And where do I go from here? How do I find the resources that I need so that I can talk this out so it doesn't turn into an addiction problem, whether it's a substance issue or some sort of a relationship problem down the road? Because this is one of those life events that really can set you on a course that is not positive, that helps you, that forces you to create unhealthy relationships. And it just complicates your life in so many ways. And that's one more reason why E. Jean Carroll stepping out at this point shows incredible, just incredible courage.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have another texter, Jim from Appleton, listening in Green Bay on WGBW. I believe that a woman's worth increases with age. Most of them start at priceless and only become more valuable as they get older, like wine.
Smooth, Jim.
Oh, Jim. You Jim, skated right into the middle of my heart there, boy.
You called me nice and you mentioned wine. Thank you.
Well, Jane, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm 54. I feel fairly seasoned at this point. And I don't worry about the things that I used to worry about when I was younger.
Not by a
long shot. But I'm also, and you too, we're much more established. We have a reputation. People know what to expect from us, and we can take chances that I couldn't have taken when I was 25.
I absolutely agree with you, Dr. Lyerly. There is no question in my mind. I did not have the courage or the conviction 20 years ago to posit the opinions I have now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just come with age and experience and stepping in things every once in a while. You got to make some mistakes.
You do.
Tony on the live stream gave Jim a bit of a zinger. He says, sounds like Jim's wife is sitting right next to him.
That's fine, Jim. We'll take it anyway. I have no problem with it.
One more important thing I think we need to mention is when someone does something incredibly brave, like what E. Jean Carroll has done, I think we can all take a little piece of that and put it in our hearts, because we've all had something happen to us, some sort of a problem that we've overcome or something that unfortunate like this that has happened. We can take that and we can find a way to turn it into something positive. And if ever there was a time for women and those of us who support women to do that, man, this is that time.
Well, now I'm inspired. I'm going to open a law firm. I'm going to call it Aging Bitter and Jaded. Or Aging Bitter and Hag. I'm not sure. I'm kind of waffling.
There's a TV show that you would absolutely love called Harry's Law. It's right up your alley. It was 2 seasons. You two, that character is you. You are Harry.
Well, we'll get together with Maggie Dawn instead of Aging Bitter and Hag, spelled with 2 G's and an E. Dr. Kristen Lyerly has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much. We will see you next Thursday. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Have a great weekend.
News is coming up next, and when we return, Goblin Butts.
You only get the fiver once.
Goblin Butts in the news. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News, U.S. Strikes Back. I'm Mark Remillar. The U.S. conducting retaliatory airstrikes in Syria and Iraq, hitting targets with dozens of bombs in response for last weekend's drone strike in Jordan that killed three U.S. service members. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says more strikes will be coming.
There will be additional response actions taken in coming days, and I think that's about as specific as I want to be about it.
President Biden taking part in the dignified transfer of those three U.S. service members as they returned to the U.S. at Dover Air Force Base on Friday.
And what is one of his most somber responsibilities as president, which is to witness the return of those fallen soldiers, and really underscores and reminds people of the weight of his responsibility.
ABC's Selena Wang, the president there with the first lady and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, C.Q. Brown. This is ABC News.
The Brewers mega trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers traded their ace pitcher, Corbin Burnes, Thursday night to the Baltimore Orioles for two players and a pick in the upcoming draft. The veteran pitcher was still upset after a team rep in a salary arbitration hearing last year claimed that Burnes was the reason the team didn't reach the playoffs in 2022.
You know, it's tough to hear, it's tough to take, but you know, they're trying to do what they can to win a hearing. But I think there was obviously other ways that they could have gone about it.
Nevertheless, he recently signed an extension with the crew through this year. So why trade him to Baltimore? General manager Matt Arnold.
Look, anytime you trade a guy like Corbin, it's always a difficult decision. I think the overarching theme here is that we're excited about the players we're getting back. And the reality of our situation is that we had 1 year left with Corbin. I think Corbin had been pretty public about how this was going to be his last year as a Brewer.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight and a low in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow and highs in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny, warm, and upper 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week. Several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. It's 28 degrees right now.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, taking your calls at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or if you're watching on the live stream, and if you'd like to listen to the show or watch the show and have some company.
Oh my gosh.
Go watch on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. There's always a whole different party going on in their whole messaging system. It's so much fun to watch.
Go find your brand new friends.
Absolutely.
We usually we'll post some live stream comments because there'll be comments on the thing happening. But they're just having a conversation about what's happening. So I almost want to be like, I could post this, but it's like out of context. Go on the live stream. See for yourself.
Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Shout out to everybody in Eau Claire listening on 95.5 The Tap. And on WRJN in Racine.
Shout out Racine.
And if you want to join us, 844-967-2789. Goblin butts in the news.
We're just going to let that hang in the air, aren't we?
Moms for Liberty.
That's, yeah. Well, actually, in light of recent actions in Florida, yes, they do work together. Yep.
Moms for Liberty has decided that several classic children's picture books are now pornography.
Pornography. Why?
Because of naked goblin butts.
Naked goblin butts.
That is among one of the books that they have a problem with. It's called Unicorns Are the Worst, which actually won the Florida State Children's Literature Award.
Is that an award worth achieving in Florida?
I feel not like, anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But apparently in this pornographic book, Unicorns Are the Worst, the main character is a goblin
mm-hmm.
and is shown with his little goblin butt on the cover of the book.
His goblin tuchus?
His little goblin tuchus, which is a cartoon
yep.
because goblins don't.
Well, let's think about this for a second. When you draw something, and I don't know, I haven't seen the book, so I don't know exactly what it looks like, but my guess, it's one line in the middle to separate the legs, and then a curved line for the tuchus.
That's pretty close.
You were upset over 3 to 4 lines.
That's pretty close.
That's what you...
So, what is the solution?
Let's see. Talking to the librarian or someone in charge, say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this. Is there anything you can do on a normal, level-headed, not crazy thing? Is that what you could do?
No.
Oh.
You do the crazy thing and you draw over the offending artwork.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I would think that that would be a copyright infringement.
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. It definitely seems like destruction of private property.
Another book that she was very unhappy about is Draw Me a Star by Eric Carlisle. He's the same person who wrote The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Aww.
I'm assuming in that book, the caterpillars are naked.
Oh, there's just caterpillar butt everywhere.
But in this Draw Me a Star, there are so few features distinguishable on these nude adults.
Yeah.
You can tell that one is female because it has longer hair. There's really nothing other. There are no distinguishing genitalia or anything that would lead you to. But no. So she said she's okay if they draw on board shorts on the male figure and then draw on a bikini. On the cartoon female body.
Put some swim trunks and a pair of Tevas on that guy, man. His butt's showing.
844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
I'm just curious if you have thoughts about goblin butts. Are you worried about goblin butts affecting your children?
Folks.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion on goblins with their butt showing? Because the way you said it, I don't want to get some of those calls. I don't need it that early in the morning.
I don't even know what I said.
No, you're fine. You're good. This
keep,
is
keep it clean. That shouldn't be hard.
Are Moms for Liberty, is Moms for Liberty, because it's a singular organization, is Moms for Liberty eventually going to crazy themselves out of existence? Like, Like, this is pretty ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
What is the next ridiculous step they take that will make it seem like, oh, they can't exist anymore?
But as long as they still have people who are backing them up and doing what they want.
Or even worse, someone says, this doesn't go, Moms for Liberty doesn't go far enough.
The woman who submitted these challenges to these books says she believes the depiction of nudity is harmful to minors. The first law relates to obscenity and prevents showing minors any nudity or sexual conduct. The second law allows any state resident, and it can be anybody, to demand libraries remove any book that depicts or describes sexual content. And again, what was she concerned about?
Goblin butts.
What did she zero in on?
Goblin butts. Now, drawing over the pictures is not cool.
No.
Requesting the library thing, that also is like, dude, get a grip. But at least that is a mature, law-abiding process. Like, you're going to be like, hey, this has this. I don't like it. Get rid of it. Yes or no, that's for someone else to decide. But going through the books and drawing all over them, I mean, is she going to tear out the pages of the Bible that has some pretty steamy talk in there? Doubt it.
That book gets an exception.
Well, you know, it's teaching the kids.
That book gets an exception.
Yeah.
If you have a comment or opinion on Goblin Butts, 844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay is joining us. Hey, Stephen, what do you think about this?
I didn't know that they made a book with Scott Walker's backside on it.
Oh!
Hey-o! Stephen for 2 points.
With that being said, Moms for Liberty, I got something you can actually be mad over, and that's, you know, your child being, you know, exposed to child predators online. Why don't you do something about that, since you're moms and you're looking for liberty?
Well, I mean, and I'm telling you what, Stephen, there's other things going on in Florida that Moms for Liberty should be all upset about, including the whole Christian Ziegler thing, which we've gotten away from for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But don't forget, his wife is Moms for Liberty on a school board. He was the head of the Florida GOP until, whoopsie, that whole little info about the three-way they were having with another person. And so you would think that if you want to get outraged about something, that would be something to be outraged about, not a fictional goblin behind.
Using the classic line that you say, good for thee, not for me.
Yeah. It's just, thank you so much, Stephen. Really appreciate it. I go back to, and we've had this discussion before, Greg, if you want to challenge a book, then you have to read it, and you write a book report on it.
Yes.
And you submit it.
I like that idea a lot.
You don't just get to say, I don't like these 97 books. They need to be reviewed. I think they should have to come up with some, I want a book report.
Yeah. I'm currently reading a book about outrage, and we'll talk more about it. Hopefully, I would like to get the author on the show. But one of the things that you come across a lot in this book is people saying, down with this show, down with this book, down with this movie. And then you're like, and then they go back and they'll talk to these people to show that they were fed lines from interest groups and think tanks. Because when they would go back, they'd say, well, you wrote this letter saying, take this TV show off.
Right.
Oh, I never watched the show.
I just heard that it was bad.
I just heard it was bad, so I just wrote the letter. I don't know anything about it. She's never, I mean, like, she's probably never read these books.
I would imagine you're right.
I mean, that's most of the...
They're getting their marching orders from someone.
That's the case with most of these things are. It's not organic. No, they're ill-informed, but they love the outrage. They need the attention. They need that thing in their life that says, I'm important. So now we have a woman who's literally drawing on cartoons to try to make people think that she's important.
Dexter from the 920 listening in Madison on WMDX. So does that mean no more Where the Wild Things Are? That would suck. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, all those creatures are naked, aren't they? In Where the Wild Things Are?
They're furry.
I haven't read that in a while.
That was Patrick from Watertown. They're all furry, I believe. But they also have butts.
Exactly.
They have butts.
Well, we can't have that.
Everybody poops.
Mark from the SAC, this is the same group, think, from the right that always claims that liberals are looking for something to be offended by.
It's true.
And I could be wrong, but I seem to remember reading that in medieval times, unicorns were a sign of virginal purity in some Christian art.
It's true. When you,
you
go
just got to put clothes on them.
When you go to medieval times and tournament.
You just got to put clothes on them.
Yeah, exactly. Clothe those unicorns.
Yes.
A nice suit.
No unicorn butts.
No unicorn.
And have that either.
Cover the horn.
Andrew, obvious phallic symbol.
Thank you.
Obvious.
Obvious. Disgusting.
So we got to disguise that somehow.
Calvin's too young to hear this.
Andrew from Maine says, let's take this one step further for those who like to say, if you haven't done this, you have no right to complain. If you want to ban a book, you have to be a published author. That might be going
I think it's a little too far.
No. Andrew, I see where you're going there.
I think, no, I like the idea of what Jane says. And we talked about this before. If you want to ban a book, you have to sit down, read it, think about the context, and explain to someone, us, whatever, why you want that book banned. I mean, and what Mark from the SAC is talking about, you know, the idea that people on the right like to say all the time, oh, this just offended liberal snowflakes. They're the ones who are forming these groups who are calling for fascist moves to get rid of things they don't like. This doesn't seem like liberal snowflakes to me.
No, it sure doesn't.
No.
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream. All the complaints and related legislation across states come from one main interest group. You're right, Tony. And then they try to hide it.
Absolutely.
And that's why we say, too, this is not an organic,
no,
you know, interested parent. Maybe in some rare cases, a concerned parent. But for the most part, this is very much driven by Moms for Liberty and that whole faction.
What they call it, there's actually a term for that. So you know how, like, if a group of moms actually got together and said, hey, we want to do this thing because we're afraid for our children, they call that a grassroots organization. When it's a group of people being funded by a big group, they, yes, call it astroturfing.
Oh.
Because it's fake. And it's being pumped up by lobbies, by interest groups, by think tanks to say, hey, you normal people, write letters, make a noise, call your senators, call your congressmen, go to libraries, burn the books. And then you say, I'm just a concerned
mom,
citizen, and I fear for my children. Because at the end of the day, children are always the best red herring in this argument.
And the best, right, well, it's the best reasoning, right?
Yeah.
It's all to protect the kids. Yeah. Tony also says they already tried to ban Where the Wild Things Are, I think, for being demonic.
Well, yeah, if you look at the characters, they got horns. Unicorns got one. Those are bihorns. They're biocorns.
Are we living in the Upside Down? I'm not sure.
Is that a Stranger Things reference?
It is a Stranger Things reference.
Okay, thank you. I know what the kids are watching.
John Oliver also did a whole episode on astroturfing. It was wonderful. Thanks, Tony. All right. If you want to comment on naked goblin butts and how this is going to be affecting you this weekend, we would love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. Let us know what your weekend plans are.
I have to say this. Jim from Appleton, I am nowhere near my wife. That is my opinion on women. He has made it clear. Jim from Appleton loves ladies.
That's a fair clarification.
That's
Jim.
Fine.
We really appreciate
fine.
That. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've been living on coffee and nicotine. I've been wondering if all the things I've seen were ever real. Whatever really.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. So very, very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Taking your calls at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Pasty.
Yes, pasty and or party. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. A little housekeeping here before we get up to the top of the hour news. We were talking in the first half hour with Dr. Lyerly about this opinion piece in the New York Times about E. Jean Carroll.
Yeah.
And what is a woman's worth, especially as we get to a certain age and we're no longer... I'm out of eggs, guys. I'm sorry. I lost them. Oh. They were in my other purse. I'd left it somewhere. Anyway, Scott from St. Louis checking in at the 224 says, what's a woman's worth? One word, priceless.
Wow, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
You're really knocking it out of the park today with these Valentine's...
That's what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm just saying these guys are being smooth.
They're being smooth.
We did get a text from Carmela, who called yesterday. Carmela on the 414 listening on WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Party Patsy. I think she meant pasty. Pasty, not pasty. I'm a pasty. Bach, as far as you doing your show at various locations in southeastern Wisconsin... No, I don't have a specific idea, but I did wonder if you can format those shows after the doors open Milwaukee.
Oh.
Just kind of cool, where you go behind the scenes and find out uncommon facts about the locations or industry. Similar to Jane at the zoo finding out animals were named after zoo staff. How fun would that be? I love that you are showcasing Wisconsin industries like ginseng farmers, informing us that Wisconsin ginseng farmers produce 95% of the total cultivated American ginseng in the United States. That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That is going to be definitely for an episode of Beyond the Cheese.
Yes, Beyond the Cheese. And again, if you ever want to make a recommendation, you can always email us. We're going to work on getting this changed because no one can spell my name. But if you want to send us an email, it's Matinair on Air, all one word, M-A-T-E-N-A-E-R.
Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and it's right there.
It's right there.
You can see your name, Matinair on Air. It's spelled out in beautiful, puffy letters. It, like what you're seeing in the corner of the live stream right now, that's what it said. So, yeah. And then she said, love your show and the direction it is going, Carmela, Milwaukee.
Well, Carmela, that
Carmela,
means,
you just melt in the hot.
Seriously, that honestly, that means a great deal. It really does. We really appreciate that. And if you have suggestions on where else we can go beyond the cheese, we just talked to the Maple Syrup Producers Association this week. We are the fourth largest maple syrup producer in the country.
We're coming for you, Vermont. We're coming for you.
Next, it's potatoes. We're going for
Idaho. Oh, we're getting all the potatoes.
Yeah, we're going to go after them all.
Yeah, yeah, I like this. We're going to take control.
We're going to take control, exactly. But yes, please, please email us, shoot us a call, shoot us a text, leave a comment on the live stream anytime. 844-967-2789. You are going to be busy this weekend, a laughing tap.
I'm always busy this
weekend. I know, you're always busy on weekends. Who's headlining this weekend?
This weekend, it's Josh Adam Myers. Three names. His initials are JAM, and it's appropriate as he is a rock and roll type of guy. He's very, very, when I say in your face, I don't mean like mean, but he's got a lot of energy, very rock and roll style on stage. and usually has a little bit of a jam at the end of the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Where he will sing some songs or just have some fun with the audience. It's going to be a really good time. I'm pretty sure that the tickets for tomorrow's early show are sold out. There might be a couple left.
Those Saturday earlies go quick.
Yeah, they go very, very quick.
That's when people my age go.
Yeah.
We go to the first show.
Yep. Saturday early is sold out, but Friday tonight and on Saturday late are available. So laughingtap.com for your tickets. $22 online, $25 at the door, no drink minimum.
That's big.
It's big, but I did have a guy say to me last week, he goes, that's too expensive. I'm like, all right, I hope you don't go to other comedy clubs. No dissing them, but you will pay more.
I don't think that's a lot of money to pay for a comedy show. I really don't. And again, if you're going to do that and then you're going to go to a place where they have a 3-drink minimum and they're going to charge you, what, $9 to $12 a pop?
At least, yeah. Yeah.
Laughing Tap is a good deal.
Thank you. So come on down, Laughing Tap. If you come out to a show this weekend, you can see me at the door. Here's a fun story. Not a fun story, but here's what happens all the time. Everyone thinks I'm the doorman because I sit there and I welcome you in. I check your tickets. I seat you. I'll check IDs. So I'm fulfilling all the roles of a doorman.
Okay.
Door person. Sorry.
Door person.
Sorry, liberals. And whenever they say that, they'll be like, oh, you're the doorman? I always say, yep. I never give them my
never
title.
Never correct them?
Never. I let them think I'm the doorman, that I'm just a bouncer. I've gotten bouncer before. You're the bouncer here? I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's what I do. I'm the bouncer.
And why?
Because I love.
Why the secret identity?
Not like a tee-hee-hee twist my mustache, but their judgment of what I am to what I look like, I just revel in that because they look at me, they don't think business owner, comedian, whatever. They just say, oh, that guy's a big dude with a beard. He must be the doorman.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I just let them live with that fantasy.
Even in this day and age, though.
Yeah. That's the funny thing is you don't have to be a woman or a person of a marginalized group to just be stereotyped. We stereotype all the time. Happens all the time. I'm a big dude with a beard. I'm a doorman. And then when I throw them out, they'll say, I want to talk to the owner or the manager. I'm like, hi,
that's
nice
me.
To meet you.
That's me. Well, and I think it would be interesting also to find out how they treat you. You know, if they knew you were the owner, would they treat you differently than assuming that you're the bouncer?
Yeah, I don't know if they would. Honestly, most people, when they come in, they're trying to crack jokes with me, and I'm like, let's not do this.
Don't try to out-comedy me.
Yeah, I'm tired right now, and I just want to go. I want the show to start.
Calvin says, you look like a comedy club owner to me, Craig.
Aw, thanks, Calviente. Calviente.
LaughingTap.com.
Yep, for your tickets. Come on down. High five. Meet Greg. And we'll have a good time.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
Don't forget tonight to Hockey Minnesota at Wisconsin. That starts at 6:30. You can listen on WRJN and Racine, 1400 AM and 99.9 FM in Kenosha on 98.1 FM. Thank you to Kristen Lyerly. Thank you to John Russell. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for calling and texting. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Stay with us. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to 2.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.